And picking up on loads of conversation this morning and lots of points that have been made, what is it that we're trying to do that picks up on all of those points? We talk a lot today about the patient, and of course it is all about the patient, but I also come at it from the other angle. My biggest responsibility in my day job is looking after my workforce. I'm trying to recruit both from this country and from overseas. I'm not having much luck. I'm trying to retain the workforce that I already have. That I think I'm having better luck with. And that is what this is about for me. Because if I don't look after, support and develop what I currently have, I'm not going to recruit what I need for the future. So this is about retaining the workforce that I have. And this is about picking up on the point made earlier by Martin. This is about listening to the evidence. I've just spent the last 12 months travelling a lot of miles listening to frontline staff, talking to GPs in practices in the middle of nowhere. I live in the middle of nowhere, so that's quite easy for me. And then what it's about is actually acting on what they tell you. Because as frontline staff, what they hate more than anything is you turning up in your suit and talking to them and listening to them, but then you go away and do nothing about it. So if we're going to listen, we have to do something about it. So what we're doing as a pilot initially is to look at GP retention, because as we all know, we're struggling to retain the GPs, let alone recruit them. And one of the things that we are being told is what they're looking for as GPs is they're looking for flexibility. They're looking for a different work style, work-life balance. 40% of our GP workforce, being females, are looking for flexibility because they've got childcare issues, because they've got issues in returning to work after maternity leave. So we have to do something about that. But then we have to listen to our older population that are saying that the pressures in general practice are all getting too much now, and I can't cope with this 5 days a week, so I'm going to reduce my session time to 4 days or even 3 days. So how do we maintain the sessions, not just about maintaining the GPs and retaining them, but how do we maintain their session time? So the slides will tell you all about what we're doing, and the slides are all being sent out to everybody. So I'm not going to stand here and talk about what it says on the slides. The important bit for me, as I say, is about retaining the workforce. So I'm going to get to my next slide, which is this one, and just ask you to watch this for a couple of minutes.
Hi, I'm Fiona Ford and I'm a GP at Richmond Medical in Accrington. I'm also the clinical director of Hindburn Central Primary Care Network. A few years ago, I started to have major health problems, including sight problems. And since I have a 70-mile round trip to go to the practice, this was causing real problems. I started maybe 2 or 3 years ago doing telephone consultations remotely. So I had whole surgeries set up. I used remote access. I used the electronic prescribing system when it came in so that I could basically stay at home without having to drive to work and back and deal with what I could. Telephone consultations being limited, you can't have a chance to examine people, you can't see their faces, you can't easily speak across a language barrier, because when a person translates to you, you're unable to actually look at the patient's reaction. So thinking about all those limitations, when the possibility of video consultation came out, I felt very enthusiastic about that. Setting it up, we had to think about it quite a bit, and I looked into the various bits of research that has been done about the best ways of doing video consultation. The most crucial thing is actually basically having two screens, which I've got before me, as you can see. So one screen is used for your remote access, so you have the patient's record in front of you as normal. The other screen is actually used for visualizing the patient. I've got my remote access set up so that I can send the electronic prescriptions. I've got access to ICE, to the results of investigations and all of those things. I can send dictations from home using Lexicon, and I can print out leaflets. I've got it networked to a printer in the practice where I can print out leaflets or any information that I want for the patient to pick up. So all of those things are things that you need to set up in the beginning before you actually start talking to the patient. What happens with the patients is that they get told the doctor will ring you this afternoon. So they have a slot of several hours where it's possible that that might happen, and they fit that into their normal life. To do that in video consultations means that if I get very tired or if my eyes are bad, if there are any constraints like that, I can basically just take half an hour out in the middle, lie down, have a sleep, and go back to the work. And I found that comparing my work on remote surgeries, video surgeries, with times when I do a surgery in the practice, the work that I do from home is better quality. So I think now we should go ahead and demonstrate what actually happens when I ring a person and then decide with them whether or not they want to have a video consultation.
Hello?
Hi Anna, it's Dr. Ford. I think you were expecting me to ring you, weren't you?
Yeah, I've been expecting your call.
Yeah, so what's the matter then?
I've got really bad back pain just at the bottom of my back, and it's stopping me from moving around. It's making it hard to get out of the car, to get off the sofa. I was just wondering if there's anything you could do.
Right, so it's causing you a big problem then?
Yeah.
I think big problem. With something like this, it would probably be better if I can see you. Would I be able to call you back on a video call, maybe? Hi, that's better. Can you see me all right?
Yeah,
I can see you. So how long has it been like this then, Anna?
Probably for the last week or so. I've just had difficulty because I do drive a lot with
people, right.
And I think it might have brought up from that. But it's just difficulty. I can't do my long journeys anymore.
No. And you've not had it like this before?
No.
Okay. I need to ask you to do a few things so that I can just check how much your back is causing you a problem. Would you be able to lie down on the settee for me, do you think?
Okay.
If it doesn't get a lot better, as I said, you'll need the sick note, but also we have a spinal drop-in service where you can go for physiotherapy for some help. So if it hasn't settled down in 2 weeks, then we can give you the times for that. So the prescription will come through in about 10 minutes to the pharmacy. If you need them to deliver it, you can just ring them and ask them. And your leaflet will be at the practice. So after a couple of months, well, it's probably about 3 months now that I've been doing regular video consultations, I've found quite a few circumstances that they are particularly useful for. Now, obviously, for anyone who's housebound, you can have a normal consultation with them without them having to come out, as well as without you. With palliative care, end-of-life type issues, or following up patients who've been very sick when you need to see them again, or people who've come out of hospital. Basically, when people are very ill and you need to keep a check on them, it's very useful for that circumstance. It's also very useful for language barriers, as I mentioned earlier, because you can include all of the family in it if necessary. And with my patients, I think often consultations are with a family rather than with one person. So you can speak to all the family together, they can see you, and you can ask them, if you want to focus on one particular individual, you can ask them to actually focus onto that person so you can see that person individually. It's very useful for that. It's also, as you could see in the consultation that we've just shown, you can use it for examining a patient. Now, it's not the same as a full examination when you have that patient in front of you and you can touch them, but guided self-examination is actually very useful and perfectly adequate. If you have a senior doctor available, that doctor can supervise other staff. So for instance, I can look at a patient that someone else is seeing, a nurse practitioner or a clinical pharmacist. I can look at the patient remotely and advise them about that. I can see a patient at home and avoid the necessity for a home visit, particularly if it's a less experienced doctor who is not that certain about risk management on the phone. I can sort that out. The use of video has also enabled me, it's reduced the number of telephone consultations that go on to a face-to-face one. Previously, the care navigation was quite good, so it was only an occasional one that went on to face-to-face ones, but it doesn't really happen now. It's also, you can use it for assessing the risk in chronic disease situations. So somebody with chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, you can see whether they're cyanosed, you can see whether they're breathless at rest, all of that. So although you've got the limitation of not being able to listen to their chest, if someone else has listened to their chest in the last couple of days, you can follow that up and be very clear whether they're getting worse or not.
Just give you a brief insight there. So that was Dr. Ford, and by being able to use digital remotely, that has helped me retain session time for Dr. Ford, who is very passionate about the job that she does, loves the job that she does and has done for many years, but unfortunately due to her own health, really struggling to get into practice. So by working remotely, that's allowed me to retain her session time. That's just a brief glimpse into what we're doing.
Hi.
That's a quote that you can read at leisure from another GP. Always wanted to be a GP, was passionate. That was the job that she wanted for life. But unfortunately, due to childcare issues, was really struggling to find the work-life balance. By offering her the opportunity to work remotely and using digital equipment, it's now maintained her services, and it's helped her to maintain the job that she always wanted to do for life. There's lots of stats, there's reports out, you can read all of this at leisure. I'm not going to bore you and go through all this, but just picking up again on the points that have been made today, my job is to look after and retain the workforce first and foremost, because if I don't look after the workforce, support them, develop them, they won't be here to deliver the high quality care to the patients of the future. So yes, patients are the most important, but alongside that, we must look at how we work and support our professionals as well, and they have to go hand in hand. Thank you very much.